Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Today, our guest, Joe Mullally, who is a Discover Goodwill Lyft instructor, which means learn, improve, focus, thrive. So this is very interesting. You think, well, what does Goodwill have to do with cybersecurity? We'll get to that in a minute. But Joe, welcome today. Thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So give us your background. And, you know, it didn't start with where you're at now. How did you get to where you're at?
Yeah, well, it's a long story, but I'll make it as short as I can. I got into computers in 1985, sort of by accident, back in Houston, Texas.
Was it after that Matthew Broderick movie, right?
No.
Trying to think, what was the name of that? War Games, right?
War Games, yes. That was right about that time, for sure. You know, IBM had just come out with their PC with two giant 5 1/4 inch floppy drives. I hired on at a place called MicroAge as a technician. Mm-hmm. Within a week, I was the best tech they had. Incredible to me that people couldn't learn this stuff. I've always been a puzzle solver, and this was just right up my alley. So from 1985 on, I've been in the computer business. Started my own computer store in 87. Moved here to Colorado Springs, 2001.
87. So where was this? San Jose?
Is that? This was in Houston.
In Houston. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so at that time, we were building computers. That IBM PC I mentioned was about $3,000. We could build the same thing for about $1,500. Cost us about $700 for the parts. So we were extremely happy. The customer was extremely happy. It was really a good time for everybody.
So your pseudonym is Dell?
Well, you know,
Dell. Because that's Texas, right?
It's a funny thing. We started hearing these rumors of this guy working out of his dorm room in Austin. Mm-hmm. That was Michael Dell. And Dell and Gateway came and crashed our party. They drove the price of those PCs down to a couple $100. And we had to shift gears and go into the service business around mid-90s. Yeah. So we became Novell authorized and did a lot of Novell setups.
Probably, Novell, that's a blast from the past.
Yeah,
right,
probably
there.
Not a lot of people think of Novell anymore. They kind of lost out when Windows NT came out. Windows NT was horrendously bad, but it was graphical. Novell was all text and kind of cryptic text.
Kind of goes to show you that it doesn't have to be the best product to take market dominance.
For sure.
And a lot of times it has not been. I mean, I see like the whole smartphone boom replaced kind of the boom in BlackBerry. We're all about security. The smartphones ignored it at the beginning.
They did.
And, you know, security didn't hold the ground there. So it kind of lost.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would set up sometimes 200 workstation Novell setups doing accounting work. They were extremely fast networks. I don't think a network today could do the work as fast as those did at that time. But it was all non-graphical, so you're just transferring text across the network.
Yeah, so very interesting. Fast. And I remember I had a Novell book when around Windows 98, 2000.
Mm-hmm.
I could hook up a Novell network, but it was fading away pretty quickly at that time.
Right.
So I, you know, didn't kind of focus on it so much, and then it just kind of disappeared. But as far as performance, you're saying it was much better.
It was very fast.
Did they have any speed comparisons like they do now with, you know, 100 gigabit per second, 10?
Boy, back in those days, I don't even remember what the network speeds were.
Did they even advertise that, or was it just a...
They probably did.
I don't remember them doing it, that's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Because I remember Novell, but I don't remember hearing about speed back then.
Right. So a lot of the networks were still star-based, hub-based type networks, not Ethernet networks.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think the biggest thing was it was all text-based, not no graphics going from machine to machine. So super fast. I mean, you'd type stuff in, it would be immediate.
Yeah.
Everybody used WordPerfect.
Yeah. Let's take a break. Nice history lesson here. Let's take a break here from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
All right, welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. Today, talking to Joe Mullally from Discover Goodwill, and we'll get to the cybersecurity connection in a bit. We're talking about your past and Novell, and we got on a little rabbit hole there. And
we did.
I had not really remember hearing anything about speed differentiation back then. But where did you go from there? Let's say.
Okay, so I moved to Colorado Springs 2001. Got tired of the weather in Houston, just came here. I actually hired on with a company for a while, but then I wound up buying that company out. So I've been doing my computer store since then. About 2 years ago, I met someone from Goodwill. There was a meeting at Goodwill some friends of mine had, and I found out about this program. They're teaching Security Plus, A Plus, and Network Plus. And with my computer store, I felt like I was starting to kind of, speaking of rabbit holes, go down a rabbit hole where, mm-hmm. you know, not that many people are using desktop computers anymore, younger generation, mostly smartphones and tablets. And I felt like I needed to upgrade my skill set. So I actually took the Security Plus training over there at Goodwill. It is a 12-week course.
Yeah, so let's sidebar on that for a minute.
Let's do.
How did Goodwill get involved with technology and training of like cybersecurity? How'd they get involved with that?
It's a funny thing. So Goodwill does things that a lot of people don't realize they do. They train for different professions. They train for nursing. They train for diesel mechanics. They have their own laundry business that they take care of. Fort Carson, for example, they have cleaning business. We put people to work out there. And so my boss, Tina Argus, about probably 3.5 years ago, this idea just popped in her head. I asked her about it, and she says she doesn't really know where the idea came from. It just dawned on her that we should be doing IT training at the Goodwill to add it to our list of things that we do for folks.
And just from my knowledge, caveating on that is Goodwill has always focused all these different things on helping people that are in low economic status.
Absolutely.
So even the laundry business, a lot of times is a lot of mentally disabled people that do this and everything, as well as, you know, this training program, which is geared towards almost getting people off the street, right?
It is in a lot of respects. That's true. The A-plus portion of our training, very much for helping people get a new career going, get a career at all going, get something going in their lives. Have a certification that they can put on a resume. We also do things where we put people into positions of, can't think of the word for it, but when you're working basically to learn a trade, you're not really working as an employee. We pay people to go out and do this work at computer stores and such so that they can get some experience.
It's like an apprenticeship.
Sort of an apprenticeship, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you take, a lot of times people, unemployed is almost a criteria for being admitted into the program, right?
For sure. Yeah.
So they're out of work, they want to do something, and they have some motivation to, you know, maybe make a step into another industry that would, you know, start their career in a technical direction.
That's correct.
Or nursing, it sounds like even that you have those entry level nursing programs too.
That's correct. And one thing that the Goodwill does is we have what we call wraparound services. A lot of these folks coming off the streets, they don't just need a job or a certification. They need to learn how to live life, to some degree. They need someone that will keep them to a schedule, teach them to stay on a schedule and things like that. So we do a lot of things where we do life coaching and try and teach these people, you know, you need these skills as well as the A-plus certification to get a job and keep a job.
Gotcha. So it's life skills is a big part of it.
It is.
So even every program, you start with that step. How many people do you have come through that they're homeless and they're, you know, having problems in that area? Do you have ways to help them with that while they're in your program?
We don't really have a way to get someone off the street per se, but we do have homeless folks in our program. We do whatever we can to life coach them and get them off the streets. We don't give them a place to live or do anything along those lines, but we certainly coach them and try to get them with the program, so to speak. When you've been living on the streets, you get into a pattern of life that really doesn't work in the working world.
The instinctual living.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes. Not thinking ahead. Not planning ahead further than a few minutes. You know. All that said, I would like to stop and say that we do take people of all income levels into our programs. You don't have to be homeless or near homeless to get into the Goodwill training, but that is something that we do because that's part of our passion.
Yeah, and it's so, and like we said earlier, it's people between jobs, people that might be on unemployment,
right.
And maybe they've been successful and just in another area, career area, they're doing a life transition, they got laid off, factory closed or whatever.
Absolutely.
You take in whole groups of people like that and help them transition into a technological.
That's correct. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
We have some people that just take to this like ducks to water.
Mm-hmm.
They become very proficient very rapidly, never knew anything about IT before in their lives. Kind of like I was saying when I first stumbled into the business and it just happened to be a natural fit for me. So we love it when we find that combination and take somebody who didn't have a skill set, give them a skill set, put them out there to work, and away they go.
Yeah. And, you know, in my assessment, a lot of that is almost like when you said it's a talent that people have.
Yes.
It's almost something that you can train them to go through the motion, but if they have that talent, they're going to have that interest, and they're just going to take off.
Exactly.
Do you get a lot of people that might not have the talent, might not have the vocation, and it's like, okay, this is just a struggle to get them there.
For sure. I have some students come up to me and tell me that the book is extremely boring. And I say, look, if this is boring to you, it's probably not the right thing to be doing.
Gotcha.
You need to have a passion for this, for sure. It's not easy work. It's brain work. It's puzzle solving. If you're not into that, you're probably not into it.
It's probably not going to be a good vocation for you.
I will
and so
say,
a lot of the first, and sorry, I didn't mean to stop.
That's
you.
Okay.
A lot of the first couple weeks, maybe even a class, is doing this assessment. We already brought them in. Now we as instructors have to assess if they're going to be successful or not. What is the success rate? I mean, do you have a certain, like 20%, don't continue?
Yeah, I won't lie and tell you I have exact numbers. I would say at this point, probably out of the people that have taken the A-plus training, I'd say about 50% have currently passed. I came on board as the instructor about 6 months ago, and I've sort of inherited some people that have been there too long. One thing I'm trying to change is that culture. When you do this kind of training, to hang out and stay in that training for a year, you're not doing yourself a favor. The A-plus program is supposed to be 18 weeks.
But that's interesting that you let that kind of a rolling past their or early, completion early, both are possible?
Yes. Yeah, we don't just boot people out of there. We try to hang in there with them, get them through to the certification stage. I do think that previously, there wasn't enough emphasis on getting through the training in the time that we've set forth. When I took the program, it was a 12-week program for Security Plus. I took it seriously. I got through that program in 12 weeks. Two of the people I started the program with are still in the program and still haven't finished. They're both at the finish line right now. They're both about to do certification, take that exam and finish. But again, I think that the focus wasn't pushing people through quickly enough. In my opinion, 12 weeks is perfect. 6 weeks would be too short. Anything beyond 12 weeks, you're not doing yourself a favor. You're going to be forgetting things that you need to know for that exam because you studied those too long ago in the past.
Okay.
So we've really honed it down to a shorter program at this point in time.
All right. Well, let's take a break here from our sponsor. We'll be right back.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today, Joe Mullally from Discover Goodwill, a learn, improve, focus, and thrive instructor. And we are talking about their program for Security Plus, A Plus, and teaching people who have special, you know, or have needs economically or whatever in between jobs, restructuring in their career. Into a technological career, and what are the base pieces for that? And before the break, we were talking about some numbers. Do you know, maybe even an estimate, how many people you put through the program?
Total number of people that have graduated through this program, I would put it around 100 right now.
And that's over the last, 3 years, I think, first time I heard about it?
Yes, it started 3 years ago.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And this is... I know it's in Colorado Springs. Is it Goodwill across the country, or do you have one location?
There are about 15 Goodwills doing this same training across the country. We're the only one in Colorado.
Okay. And it is just in the U.S., though, so international people aren't going to see anything like this?
As far as I know, I don't think we're doing this overseas anywhere.
Okay. So, interesting. And you had talked about the initial onset of it. Either Goodwill went to Google or Google had a program, but Google pays for the funding on this. Explain that a little bit and who else might be involved with the supporting of this.
Google has a digital initiative that they started about 3 years ago. How they wound up getting involved with us, I don't have any clarity on. Google pays for our Security Plus training. They don't pay for the A Plus and Network mm-hmm. Plus training. We have some other funders for that, El Paso County, Phil Anschutz, Pinnacle Insurance, mm-hmm. and a few other folks around town.
Okay.
Some anonymous funders as well.
Okay. Is that, and Goodwill is a nonprofit then, right?
We are a nonprofit.
So we take all this as a donation, they get tax write-off, so there's nothing they really get out of it other than giving back to the community in all these cases.
That's true. Google, I will say, does a lot of oversight. They have us keeping track of a lot of pieces of information about these folks that we report to them on a regular basis. So they want to make sure that this program is doing what they intend and mm-hmm. getting people through the program. One thing we talked about, some of our students and how they get to us, I want to just mention, because we have a lot of military here in town, that's a huge portion of the folks that are coming into our training program.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Colorado Springs, having a Security Plus and having what's called secret clearance mm-hmm. in the military, it's kind of a golden ticket to getting jobs and getting good paying jobs around town. So we do get a lot of military. We get a lot of folks that come in with problems that have arisen out of their military experience, PTSD, things like that. And again, we have a lot of life coaching to help those folks get through this program as individuals personally and professionally learning the skill set.
Interesting. So being on, you know, a lot of military people can even get on unemployment, Nick, out of the military.
Mm-hmm.
They're automatically eligible coming out of the military for this program?
They are.
Okay.
They are. I will say we have a pretty stringent assessment process that includes a couple of interviews, some assessment tests that we have the folks take. If they do fail those assessment tests, we let them retake those tests. And in fact, we want to see if someone fails, we want to see them come back time and again and keep trying. We want to see that persistence that they really want into this program. So we don't just say, you know, you want in, you're in.
And so let, do you have any numbers on how many people come in through your door versus how many you get into the, I mean, you said 100 in the last couple of years, but how many people have applied for it? Do you have a number on that?
I would guess around 400,
okay,
maybe 500 over the past 3 years.
One-fourth or?
Yes, for various reasons, some folks don't get in or decide on their own that really wasn't for them.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that come up. When I'm interviewing someone for this process, if I see in their past a lot of lack of persistence, that's kind of a red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not easy, and someone really does have to have some amount of persistence in in themselves to get through this program.
So persistence, some kind of stability. What else makes, what type of person does well? I mean, do you have a kind of a profile of, hey, we have good success with these and maybe not these? Some of them you mentioned through.
Those who do the best have shown an interest in computers pretty much their whole lives.
Okay.
And part of our interview process is trying to dig at that, trying to find out when they got into computers, why they got into computers, why they have a passion for computers, those kinds of things. And certainly, people that have had a long-term passion for computing, they do really well with this training. We've had folks go through the whole training program, pass their certification within 3-4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what might somebody expect coming into the program? What would be the expectations so somebody would be not nervous about what they expect coming in the door?
Right. So what the program is, it's what we call blended training.
Mm-hmm.
That's come about in the internet age because we have the ability to do online training. So blended training is a combination of online training, book training, and then instructor-led training. I'm the instructor in that case. So our course is Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. We want those folks there for 3 hours. We do morning and evening classes on those days.
And that's the instructor part, or is that?
So during that three-hour class, I will do what's called a breakout session for roughly an hour, hour and 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, I don't just try to quote-unquote teach what we're teaching, because with the blended training, they're getting an online teacher, basically. Mike Myers, pretty much everyone's heard of. That's one of the main folks that we have. So they're watching these videos all the time.
Mike Myers, the comedian actor?
No. This is a different Mike Myers.
Clay, I'm thinking Austin Powers here.
That would be really good.
That would be good. I mean, you could probably get him to do that.
At any rate, so my students are there in class. They're watching this training. They're reading their books. They don't want to turn around and have me just basically preach the same stuff to them. So I do a lot of things where I try to get all the students involved talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that they will teach each other far better than the online training or the book or myself. People talking to each other about things and working things out, that's really what I try to get going with my 1 hour per day breakout session. And the students love it. I came into the program, like I say, I took the Security Plus training. When I first got into the training, I said to the guy that was teaching at the time, I said, I can't wait to start putting my hands on some of this equipment. He said, no, this is all just theory. book, online stuff. There's no hardware that we touch. So I'm changing that. I've been having a computer store. I come across a lot of hardware. So I bring a lot of hardware into the classroom.
Oh,
we do a lot of take-aparts of laptops, towers, things like that for my A-plus students. We are setting up networks for my network-plus students to play with things, access control lists for our security-plus students and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're setting up some real-world hardware, playing with real-world hardware nowadays. So that's one thing that's changed in the program probably in the last 6 months.
Yeah. And you teach right to the certification course. So the objective is to get them this certification that says they know the lingo and they can do the minimal amount to be able to work in the industry.
That's correct. And the word objective is a good word because CompTIA has objectives that the students do need to train for in this training. And that's precisely what we do, is teach to those objectives. CompTIA, for those who don't know, is sort of an amalgamation of a lot of tech companies. They get together and agree on the things that they need people to know when they get out there in the workforce. That's what those objectives are, and that's exactly what we teach these students.
Yeah, and you had mentioned earlier that they can go through it, they can stay longer, they can repeat certain things, and take the tests several times.
They can.
And you guys pay for the test as part of the program?
We pay for their first instance of the test, yes. And then after that, we can get them basically a 50% discount if they do need to retake that test. We do our best to get people to pass that the first time around.
Do you have a number, like an overall pass rate percentage?
It's around 50%.
Around 50%?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For that first try, yeah.
Okay.
With the A-plus training, there's actually two certification tests, by the way.
Yeah. So now if you're in counseling somebody, what do you tell them? This is what you do to be successful.
I tell them okay, so our training is 20 hours a week, 10 hours of being at the Goodwill, 10 hours of home study, and again, the A-plus 18 weeks, network-plus 12 weeks, security-plus 12 weeks. If they will stick to that program, they will be successful. That is kind of what I'm bringing to the table since I've been on board, is that accountability factor. I think the previous instructors, I don't want to knock them at all, they didn't have that sense of urgency that I have about it. The instructor who brought me on board convinced me that I had to do this in 12 weeks. I came to find out later most people didn't actually finish in that 12 weeks. But that is changing. We've got a lot of the students that have come on board since I've been training have already done their certification, already passed their exams, and we're getting that time frame down to what it ought to be. And I think that's bringing up our passing numbers as people condense that training down. There are things called boot camps around this town that are one-week training programs. I think that's insane. You really have to know a lot
of
this.
That's a test cram is what that is.
It is a test cram. And those folks have a lot of this background already. So that is too short of a time frame. A year is too long of a time frame. I think the 12 to 18 weeks is perfect. And that's what we're trying to steer people into right now.
Okay. So just in closing here, how do people get enrolled? How do they talk? How do they reach out to you? And any other things you want to put out to our listeners?
They can always call me. Is it okay if I give my cell number?
Let's not give phone numbers.
Okay.
Emails, websites are best for the show.
Okay. They could email me, jmullally, that's MULLALLY, at discovermygoodwill.org. That would be the best way to get started.
And that's for Colorado Springs now.
Is
there a nationwide website that people can go to for what's in my area?
If they would like to, if you're nationwide, I don't have the answer to that, but they could email me at the address I just gave, and I will find who they need to talk to in their part of the country.
All right. Is there a landing page on the Goodwill site about this? Or
there is a Lyft page. If you would Google Colorado Springs Goodwill Lyft, you would be taken right to that page.
Okay, that's a good way. It's a good way for people to find it as well.
Yes.
Well, thanks a lot for joining today, Joe. And it's great work that you're doing over there. And I think it's just a wonderful thing for the cyber community to get, you know, that kind of lower level, get people started.
Yes, sir.
I've always been at the university and masters and even, you know, graduate level. So it's You know, I don't see as much of that, and it's good that there's these programs out there. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Have a good one.
You too.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved with what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.